This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
First goes. Pitch swung on a high fly ball right field deep. Back it up, Brennan. Back it up. Turning around. It is gone! Carpenter touching the ball. A three-run bomb! And the Tigers have stunned the Guardians.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
First pitch, a roller to Witt. He has it. He fires. And the Royals will take game two by a final score of 4-2. This series is now tied, one game apiece, like all the others.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
It's going to be a direct snap to Kelsey. Got the snap. Hands off to Worthy. Runs over the right tackle. Touchdown, Kansas City. The Chiefs have just gone up on the New Orleans Saints 22-13.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Oh, happy Tuesday, everybody. Good morning.
What is happening?
That is Andy Dirt Johnson. I am Brandon Sprague.
Hello.
Happy 8th of October.
There should be a song about the 8th of October.
Really?
Yeah, 8th
Why?
Of October is a good little day, man.
Is
Early
it?
October, weather's still good. Everything's heating up in the sports world. What a time to be alive.
I've concluded, finally, walking around yesterday, recapping Monday's show, getting ready for Tuesday's show.
Yeah.
I've concluded, I'm firm on the opinion, I like Tuesday the most of all the shows of all the weeks.
I think I agree with you there.
Of all the days, like yep. Everybody in this business would say Monday. Oh, Monday, because it's, you know, hey, this happened this weekend.
We're reacting to it first, right out of the gate.
And I understand that thinking. I like Tuesday the best because you can do a little recap and a little preview. It's a nice little blend that we get. A little fun with
breath.
Audio.
You're yes. Monday is just a mad scramble to try to get to everything.
Very true. You're overwhelmed. There's too many things to talk about. You try and fit as
and
many
you
as you
back,
can.
And it's like, oh, I forgot to get
why
to
didn't we
that,
do this?
Or why didn't yes. I? And then you get maybe a little bit of clarity.
Well, Tuesday just, I think Tuesday, everything
settles. Monday night clarity, there's definitely a thing there.
Yeah. I think Tuesday's like eating a really greasy leftover.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, everything's kind of settled. Now, where are you at?
Right.
I'm in sports hell.
You have a lot about like happy people, sad people. It's a good blend of the sports fan that we get
You get
on
the
Tuesday.
Callers on the shows on Monday that then provide great audio for the Tuesday show.
That's the ugliest little sister on the block.
You can't lose to the ugliest little sister on the block, man. That is a No, you can't do that.
Exactly.
I was glued to all of that reaction stuff yesterday.
Oh,
and it
I
was,
tuned in. Yeah.
It was glorious,
yeah.
And I was laughing my absolute ass off watching callers into the Feinbaum show. Monday shows are truly overwhelming. They're stressful and they're overwhelming because you want to do, like, I feel like we could do 30 to 40 minutes on just a handful of big topics out of the weekend, and then, but you wouldn't get to anything else. And so you like almost shorten everything up and then you try and fit more stuff in. It's not an easy puzzle to put together. So I like when the dust settles, Tuesday gets here, there's all sorts of leftovers from Monday. I'm with you. I think Tuesday's shows are better than Monday's
also,
shows.
Also, Tuesday's just highly regarded as the worst day of the week for most people.
Come
and
on.
I love always liked Tuesday. I had a soft spot for Tuesday.
Big Tuesday guy. Wednesday's the worst day of the week.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going Wednesday. Monday, it's not bad. You're back. Whatever. Mondays are fine.
Wednesday's
Tuesdays
the
are
worst
disrespectful.
Day of the week?
Wednesday, you're like, you're not halfway there, but you're not halfway in.
It's I think you are halfway there. It's called
kind
pump
of,
day.
By the time you show up, you're not halfway in. Maybe by the time you're going home, you still got two more shows. Thursday, you're already looking forward to Friday, and then Fridays are great. I think Wednesdays suck. I'm out on Wednesdays.
See, Friday's exciting because you go into the weekend, but I would argue Friday is an underrated bad day because you think it's the weekend mentally, but you have to work.
Yeah, still more stuff to do.
And then if you're like us, if you're a sicko out there and you're listening to Dirt and Sprague at 6 a.m.,
hey,
that means Friday night, you're contemplating, do I Red Bull or do I just crash at 9 o'clock at night?
How long am I going to make it?
So does it really feel like a weekend because, well, I'm going to bed at 9:30 at night, well, or do I energy drink it up and recharge myself?
Dare I intrigue you in a Friday night game, Big 12 after dark? We got Utah-Arizona State Friday night.
No, now, I'm not interested. I'll not have it on, okay. But I'm not interested.
7:30 kick, too.
Arizona State.
Like, what are we doing, man? Hey, that's 4-1 Arizona State
it's
to you, buddy.
One.
That's two wins away from bowl eligibility, Kenny Dillingham.
Hey, under some, the
put some respect on the name.
The pride of West Lynn, Sam Levitt.
I've given Dillingham his
guys, my wedding.
I know. There have been guys at his wedding.
You had guys at your wedding? I don't think you had guys at your wedding. That's why you're jealous of Kenny Dillingham.
Have you tracked this hurricane happening in Florida?
It is terrifying.
It looks, I don't know. I mean, the one that Helene just hit and they're still cleaning up, and
it's going to hit the same area.
It's going to hit the same area and maybe do more damage.
Because the Category 5 is
the Buccaneers are already getting out of town today for their game this weekend against the Saints.
Smart. You got to get the hell out of there. Is New Orleans going to be okay? It's mostly just hitting Florida.
It's supposed to,
go Gulf of Florida.
Right over the middle of the state.
Yeah. There was somebody that had a message yesterday that I saw that was circulating on social media that was basically like, I live right where the storm's going to hit, and everybody's telling me to evacuate. There's no gas left, and like the highways are not moving because everybody's trying. It's a small, narrow state. You can't go side to side. There's only one way out of Florida, and everybody is going that way to get the hell out of the state. And basically was asking, like, what the hell should I do? Because I can't get out. Freeways are jammed. And, oh, by the way, there's no gas left.
Yeah.
So everybody filled up all their gas tanks, and now there's nothing left.
Yeah, this is the balance that I constantly do when hurricane season is here or it's wrapping up, where I see these hurricanes hitting those areas. And I'm just feeling for all those people. And then I'm like, well, the thing we have is unpredictable and just going to happen.
It'll kill all of us. When it happens, we're all dead. We just don't know when it's going to happen.
Or but if it'll happen.
Or if it will
It doesn't have its own season, though.
No. It's not like three of them a year and it's every September and October. You got to run for cover. It's,
right.
At some point, we're all just going to die.
Yes.
And that kind of sucks.
These are done by November, right?
Well, usually they're done. This is kind of the end of it, usually.
Well, let's hope so, because the Pilots are playing in a tournament in Myrtle Beach in November. And
that's the other part, Florida. Which part of Florida is it going to hit? You just don't know.
I feel like this is swag from his Hawaii trip with the fire. Can I still go on my fishing trip? He's worried about his Myrtle Beach Pilots basketball trip.
That didn't need to be for public consumption,
what you just
revealed. I've never shared that story on air, and you just did. So, yes.
I'm pretty sure we talked about that on the air.
I'm
pretty sure that was a thing on the air.
Part.
Can I still go fishing? I don't think so, man. I think that's shut down for a while. I don't think they're going to have any charter boats out there for a couple of months, man.
Well, to be fair to Swigard, at that specific point, we did not know. All we had heard was there was a fire. We didn't know.
Very true.
Well, and I had
the
talked to my...
The intensity of it.
The entire section and city.
Well, my parents were already down there.
Right.
And they were on a different part of the island, and they said... No, if you wanted to come here, we didn't get affected.
We're not in that pocket.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then it was, okay, the whole point was to take packs and to do this chartered fishing trip. And I hadn't heard from the charter company, so I was just...
So we've just already peeled the Band-Aid off.
We did,
I said,
yeah.
Hey,
so
we leaned in. Is this even going on?
Commercial break. We leaned in. Swag's about to leave for Hawaii last year. The big fire that happened in Maui.
Yeah. Terrible fire.
And terrible, devastating fire.
It's still...
They're just rebuilding.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they just started rebuilding.
Old Lahaina town is still walled off. They're still getting in there.
And the fire is happening, and all we're seeing is that there's a fire near Lahaina.
Nobody can get out. People are dying. Buildings are down.
Well, we didn't know all of that quite yet. We just knew that there was a bad fire starting in Lahaina. Yeah. And we lean in and we go, man, there's a really bad fire, it sounds like, on Maui. And Swag just leaned in and goes, I hope my charter fishing trip isn't canceled.
I hope I can still go fishing.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that one's going to be cut off. I don't think that's going to be a thing anymore. We do all do that, though, right? Like, if you're going somewhere and something has happened,
you immediately think of,
well, how is this going to affect me in any way, shape, or form? I think by the time November rolls around, Myrtle Beach will be okay. I can't imagine Myrtle Beach will be gone to the point where in November you can't go on a basketball trip.
This is usually when hurricane season is wrapping up.
Yes, it usually is.
Yeah. It's like August to this point of October.
I was glued to the last one, and then it ended up affecting affecting areas way worse than we originally thought.
Like, yeah, that one, it was flooding like up in
North Carolina.
That's where it got
it the worst.
But, like mudslides.
And I remember watching the coverage of it when it initially made landfall. Everybody thought Florida was going to be the place hardest hit where it came inland. And it did. I mean, there was serious devastation and flooding and all that. But the worst ended up being in North Carolina. And so this one is supposed to just decimate the coastline of Florida. And it's horrible, man. It's one of the reasons, like, I'm sure the weather's beautiful and the sand and all that, but having to deal with this three times a year, two times a year, and not knowing, am I going to be in the pathway? Is it coming my direction? Do I need to evacuate? What happens to my house? Like, mm-hmm. I would not want to sign up for that.
I think it's going to pick up steam. I think it went across the Mexico,
the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah. And as it turns into the Gulf, it'll pick up steam. It's right around 150 mile an hour.
Yeah, they were saying winds. 150 mile an hour winds.
So
this is like the fourth strongest hurricane they've ever tracked.
Yeah, it's right between a category 4 and 5.
Crazy.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I think I take the unknown and unpredictable over the 3-4 times a year.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to leave, and we're also not sure your insurance company is going to help you much.
And how long is it going to take to get that money?
How long is it going to take
to rebuild everything?
They're losing insurance companies in Florida.
Yes, because why would you want to be an insurance company in Florida? That doesn't sound like a very good business
plan. Not a lucrative situation there if this is looming. Yeah.
They want to be in an insurance business where they just take your money and they don't give you any money back. That's the beauty of the insurance industry, which is an absolute scam, but I digress.
Did you see there was a thing on social media that showed an airplane flying through the origins of Helene, and it's the NOAA, and that's basically how they get all of their information and track this, is these guys get in an airplane.
Yeah. The National Oceanic Atmosphere.
They're flying over it? That's
and they're
what
flying
they're doing?
Like over
there's,
and in
there's
it a
plane.
Yeah.
It's the Air Force, I think, or somebody, and they fly into it, and then they get into the eye of it where
that's
it's all
track
calm.
It. Yeah.
And they get readings. That's how they get readings.
It's crazy. You imagine how scary that would be?
Look at the video. It's nuts. They're all
terrifying.
Super calm, and they're just flying through her.
It's 180 miles an hour winds.
Why'd you make him a Muppet?
I don't know. He went Bert
and Ernie
guys,
there. Those are guys that are training to be astronauts. Let's not kid ourselves.
Oh, they're absolute badasses, and I would be pooping my pants the entire time.
Yeah, I could not do it.
I'm scared of flying as is, let alone flying in a hurricane. Would you rather live in hurricane territory or tornado territory?
Well, I've been in a tornado alarm. I went to Oklahoma in 96, and my grandma lived in a tiny little podunk town, and they had the sirens go off.
You gotta go get underground, find your bunker.
And we went into a bunker. Nothing ended up happening.
Yeah, didn't end up getting hit by it.
But, like, you know, being kind of around and near that is
a little scary.
Well, yeah, we don't have any of that.
Where am I going?
I was like 9 years old.
I think I would take tornadoes over hurricanes. I feel like the chances of being affected by a tornado are smaller.
If it's like an F4,
oh, I'm not saying the devastation where it hits isn't bad.
The tricky part is
look how wide this hurricane is, man. It's like half the state of Florida. Like, if you're down in the tip, maybe you're okay. Or if you're up in certain pockets, maybe you're all right. But like
hurricanes,
the whole thing's getting hit.
But you're tracking that before. You have some warning.
That's true.
Tornadoes can
show up and with very little warning.
I mean, didn't you see Bill Paxton, Helen Hunt?
I did, yeah, very little. They didn't
what
know where to go.
What do you do when it just drops in your house and misses that house?
Exactly.
You know?
It kills your dog and your dad.
We need to get Dorothy up and running.
We do, man. Where's Pate at this weekend? Go send him after a tornado.
Well,
come on, man.
He mentioned the weather pattern for the Georgia-Bama game. For a weather nerd, this has got to be like nirvana,
so when's it,
right?
It's supposed to make landfall tomorrow, I believe.
I think so.
Yeah.
Is when it's supposed to make landfall.
Yeah.
Let's see if there's any Florida games this week.
The underrated part, Milton. The underrated part of the hurricane is the residual rain for all the other areas. Like, you're not getting hit, but like, are we going to get 5 inches of rain today?
Very true. Doesn't look like Florida State plays this weekend. Florida is on the road at Tennessee.
Okay.
So we got
what
that
about
going
the FIUs and the FAUs?
Let me check my UCS. UCF is at home on Saturday.
Oof.
They play Cincinnati in Orlando.
Orlando might be getting hit by some of this.
Supposed to be 83 and sunny by Saturday, but good luck by the time you get there.
Yeah.
What conference is FIU in?
I don't know. International.
I digress. I don't know. American Conference, maybe? Who the hell knows?
That would make a lot of sense.
South Florida is playing on Friday at home in Tampa.
Mm.
So good luck with that. FAU is at home on Saturday in Boca Raton.
Man.
Taking on North Texas.
That's tough, but it's crazy to follow that stuff through the news, man.
I mean, I'll be watching it tomorrow. I'm glued to this stuff. It's fascinating to watch, and I hope everybody's getting the hell out of there and is going to be safe.
I'm glued to a lot, and the weather is one. Sports is the other.
Yes.
I was talking with, or I was tweeting with somebody this week, and man, sports are the best. It's all we have. It's all I have to look forward to in life outside of just seeing my family.
I saw a funny thing the other day. We talked about Michael Irvin being on all fours and barking like a dog at the Miami game.
Who hasn't?
And somebody said, you know, sports have an unhealthy, you know, role in my life, which they do for all of us. But he said he had never been on all fours. I'd never watched a game in doggy style. And I thought about putting up a poll question of, have you ever watched a game in doggy style?
Have you ever been Michael Irvin?
Because I definitely have gone doggy style for a game.
Really?
Don't pull that. Yes. I mean, that's definitely.
How do we not pull that?
I'm pretty sure the game winning or the attempt at a game tying kick last year in the Oregon Washington game, I'm pretty sure I was doggy style in my living room.
Yeah! Here we go!
Watching that kick. I couldn't stand up anymore. I couldn't lay down. I think I was on all fours.
Okay. All right.
And it's the trust tree. I'm okay acknowledging that.
Good for you. I don't know what to do with that comment. Just sitting out there in the ether.
Just go doggy style.
I don't know what game would constitute you being in that position, but good for you.
Probably this weekend. I'm going to be in the press box doggy style. Big fourth down conversion. Move over, Anthony.
You don't get riled up very much, very often. I felt like yesterday me doing the landing day stuff was kind of starting to get the blood boil a little bit.
Oh, let's go. It's game week, baby.
I was triggering you a little bit.
It's game week. I'm ready to go.
I was gaslighting you.
You're
sure Gabriel's better than Howard? Oh, I'll tell you he is.
I'm poking my bear, damn it.
It's a big game.
It's a massive game.
You poke my bear, we got mighty Nevada.
Big one down in Reno. Is that where they play?
Yep.
Is that where Nevada is?
All right, let's just go. You're depressing me now. All right, we got a lot to get to. I want to start with an observation and something in the NFL that needs to be mandated next on The Fan. All right, we will get to how the South is coping with a college football loss today.
Not well. That's the answer. Not well.
We'll send a U-Haul to your ass.
Yeah, you worried about Hurricane Milton? Should be worried about Hurricane Legend.
Yeah, we got audio today. Got a lot of audio to get to. So, just get this out of the way. I don't want to spend a whole segment on it. The Chiefs are just going to win the Super Bowl again. Does the NFL feel pointless?
It feels like the Kevin Durant Warrior era of the NBA.
Kind of does, doesn't it?
Like, I've always been there, but I think last night even solidified it more. They didn't play a very good game at all. They have one of the best kickers in the league. He missed a makeable field goal. They threw a Seahawks pick at the one-yard line,
yeah.
In which a fat guy returned it basically out to midfield. Patrick Mahomes is having the worst numbers of his career, and none of it matters.
None of it.
None of it matters.
Everybody's hurt. Nobody yeah. can
no.
play. Kelsey's out.
Rashee Rice is out. Now you have to rely on Juju. Good luck with that. He's like making one-handed catches, diving to the ground.
I watched Juju Smith-Schuster in New England. I'm telling you, he was a corpse.
He was terrible.
He couldn't do
man.
Anything. He was dropping balls. Yes. Yesterday, he's going out. What do you have, 9 catches?
He's unstoppable.
30.
The one that he made where he was like sliding to the ground and like wedged it along his helmet. Like, okay, we're just catching that now. Cool. I have no hope left. No, I'm going to watch. I'm going to gamble on the rest of the NFL season.
I'm a degenerate. I'll follow all this.
It's over. It is over. Congratulations on a three-peat to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, and I mentioned this before. We get to meet listeners once in a while. I met a great listener at Hood to Coast 2 years ago. Really nice guy. P1 of the show. He's wearing a Chiefs shirt. I said, oh, I'm jealous, man. You keep beating my team. You got a dynasty. And I'm just going to say this. I'm happy for you. I hate your team. Now, that has to do with gambling against them last night. But also, like, none of this matters. Unless Patrick Mahomes misses 4 of his offensive linemen and Chris Jones gets hurt, they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because you ain't going to pick anybody to beat them.
I knew you gambled on the Saints last night. I ended up staying away from the game because I liked the Saints. And then I was like, I'm not gambling against Patrick Mahomes. This is kind of an uncomfortable feeling to be in.
See, I was the opposite. Well, not the opposite. I was more not Mahomes because I know I've seen his numbers. He is terrifying in clutch moments. I'm not scared of Patrick Mahomes anymore. You know what I'm scared of?
I'm not scared anymore.
I'm scared of Chris Jones.
Yeah, I'm scared of their defense.
Chris Jones is... I would make an argument, Dirt, because Mahomes is making the throws. He's the flashy plays. He's great. We all know that. I would argue the scarier player for the Chiefs is Chris Jones. He's the scariest player to go against on the Chiefs. It doesn't matter who your offensive linemen are.
No, he just took over the game last
night. And I love me some Aaron Donald. Certainly make the case. Aaron Donald's the greatest DT of all time. I think you can make a legitimate argument that when they're going, Chris Jones is quite literally walking through two offensive linemen every play and wrecking every play.
He's so damn tall, too, that even on plays in which he doesn't get through the offensive line, he's able to, like, get his hands up and make a deflection. And just he impacts the game in so many different ways. The way that you have to double team him and then it sets up other guys. He just there is a feeling of inevitability. And it reminds me of the conversation nationally that we had when Mahomes went to the Super Bowl for the second time. They played Tampa. They didn't have an offensive line. They lost that game.
Yeah.
And Brady got his last ring. The narrative out there was, well, now Mahomes can never be better than Brady. He lost in a Super Bowl head-to-head to Brady. Therefore, he can never be better, because that's what we do to Eli and Brady, right? Eli's definitely better than Brady because he beat him in a Super Bowl. And now he's probably going to win his third straight. They're going to be the favorite again for a fourth. Like, he's like, how old is Patrick Mahomes? 28?
I think he's 29.
29 years old. This guy's going to likely play for another 11 years in the NFL.
We'll see.
We'll see. I just, at this point, he's probably going to be a villain until he's 45 years old.
Yeah, and the best defensive coordinator in football.
Going anywhere, man.
And Andy Reid.
This guy wins 10, man.
Andy Reid coached circles around Dennis Allen last night.
Yes.
It was unbelievable.
Yes,
here is the pick. Kevin Harlan on the call for Westwood One. Here's his call of that pick.
There's a shotgun snap. The fake handoff. The quick throw at the goal line is deflected, and it's intercepted on the play by Saunders. He runs the big man, the 10, near sideline 20, on the near sideline 30. Got a block, and from behind, the former Chief is taken down. The Saints big man got it on the ricochet at the goal line on a pass intended for Smith-Schuster. That was a thick pick.
Thick pick.
So we've had this season.
A thick six.
And then we got this last night.
That was a thick pick.
He's Kevin Harlan. I'm gonna say this too, because Monday's show, you don't get as much time to react to things that aren't as regional. I probably watched the greatest Lamar Jackson game of my life.
He was so good on Sunday.
I mean, he was un-effing believable. I didn't see this going into the game. The Ravens were at their team hotel and encountered a fan
yeah.
in Cincinnati. This poor old woman, she did it. She's the reason that the Bengals lost.
Beat your ass tomorrow.
What team?
What team?
What team?
What team?
What team going to beat us?
Today, the Bengals.
She went up to them at a restaurant.
Just saw him eating a meal. Just said, I'm going to go talk trash.
Stood right next to Lamar and said, we're going to beat your ass.
Hootay.
And the Ravens came back. Here is something that I want to mandate. Kevin Harlan, you remember that play? Lamar snapped it, dropped it, bobbled it, picked it up. Got chased to the boundary by Hubbard. He stiffs arm him down, throws it to Likely in the end. It's one of the greatest plays in NFL history. Kevin Harlan on the call.
The back. Likely in motion. He bubbles it. Scoops it in. Vacuums it home. Here comes Hubbard. Oh, he threw him away like a rag doll. And he throws in the end zone. Caught for a touchdown. Caught for a touchdown by Likely. Absolutely amazing. How in the world did he keep it together and then find the open receiver? Oh, Lamar!
So, Kevin Harlan is on the call for this one last weekend, right, with the Bengals-Ravens.
He does TV games for CBS. He does radio for Westwood One.
He does. This weekend, we've got Lamar Jaden Daniels.
Ooh.
And there's no Kevin Harlan on the call. It's a Romo Nance game.
A little upset about that.
And I just want to say, all due respect to the legend that is Jim Nance, Kevin Harlan should be on every Lamar Jackson game.
At this point, yeah.
I don't care about the network. When you go look up Lamar Jackson highlights, like some of the best ones, it's Kevin Harlan narrating.
Just freaking out.
And I just don't think there's anybody more suited to call Lamar Jackson games because, and I'm going to say something else controversial, and I don't care how it ages, I think he's the greatest football player I've ever seen in my life. And I don't care about wins and Super Bowls. He has 69 wins since he was drafted. He only trails the Chiefs and Mahomes in that category. And I don't care if he never wins a ring. He does things every single week that I'm like, this isn't physically possible. How does this guy do this?
Spicy.
Yeah, I'm the heat down today. The ship. I don't care.
You're bringing the heat today, man. It is funny, too, because he, for a lot of the stuff we give Burrow in terms of beating Mahomes in the playoffs, and Cincinnati has decent numbers against Kansas City, even though they lost the regular season game this year, that's one of those talking points for Burrow over Mahomes, or Burrow being on the same level as Mahomes. You know what Lamar's record is now against Joe Burrow?
It's like 7-1, isn't it?
I think he's like, he's only lost 8-1? Once to Cincinnati against Burrow. He's like 5-6-1.
And
like
Burrow is, yeah.
He dominates that matchup, and it's an interdivision matchup, and he beats them nearly every time that they play. And so he clearly has the leg up there. That was such an that was one of the most impressive plays I've ever seen in the NFL.
The entire game was that, though.
It was
he
just
had
him.
Multiple plays where he had one play where he was running backwards. He saw the line. He spun. He started running backwards. He then jab-stepped forward and completely, like, surprised the defensive lineman, spun out of it, ran up 4 yards just to throw it away so he didn't take a hit.
Wild stuff.
He dropped 10 pounds this offseason so he could be faster, and it is showing.
Lightning quick Lamar, man.
It's just, I know it's a little bit of a hot take. You would probably, some of you would take like 5 quarterbacks. I've seen the narrative some of you have on quarterback play.
Yeah, that guy Patrick Mahomes is pretty good.
Yeah, I think a football player, I think he might be the greatest I've ever seen in my life. He does things every single game where I'm like, that's not physically possible.
The funniest thing is he has games like that where he'll miss, you know, one or two throws or a manageable third down. He has a guy open and he misses him, and then he'll make 5 just insane, miraculous, game-saving plays.
Yes.
And the narrative for some on Monday will be, but he missed, like, you can't miss those throws. It's like, are we not going to count the fact that he got a bad snap, had to pick it up? Basically, when you get a bad snap, the best thing that can happen is you can escape the pocket and throw the ball away. Like, that's the best case scenario, that you don't just have to fall on it and take a sack and lose 10 yards. He didn't just pick it up, scramble out of the pocket. He then ended up throwing a touchdown pass after stiff-arming a defensive end to the ground.
Let's get to our NFL factoids. NFL Factoid Tuesday. We'll do it next on The Fan. Finally, we're back on the air. Welcome back in. Good morning.
Hello.
How's everybody doing on this Tuesday?
Doing great, man.
Pull questions up. Who scares you more when your team takes on the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes or Chris Jones? So far, all of you are wrong. It's so easy to vote Mahomes, and I get it. He's an amazing player. I'm not trying to take away his greatness, but if you watch the Chiefs and your team takes them on in a big game, you see who wrecks you the most.
It's frustrating because it breaks down the way that we talk about football, and I was not here for some of the postseason run last year because old Teddy Ballgame was born and I was gone, but they went on to win another Super Bowl.
Because of Chris Jones.
Because of their defense.
Yeah.
And they were dominant against Baltimore. They were dominant against San Francisco, two of the best offenses in the entire sport. Let's also not overlook what they did to Miami, who I know it was a cold weather game for them, but they completely shut down Miami in that divisional round matchup. Like, good against Buffalo. So it's not that Mahomes didn't do anything, but it's okay to have nuance when discussing this. Mahomes does not win every game single-handedly by himself. He has had the benefit of playing for an unbelievable organization and now arguably the best defense in the league.
So that's
or one of the best defenses in the league.
Mahomes is propped up. I agree. Let's start that narrative.
He's the next Brady, dude. It's a system quarterback, man. Put him in Cleveland. What's he doing?
Let's get off our NFL factoids on a Tuesday. Didn't do it last Tuesday, but we got them this Tuesday. We like to do the NFL factoids every week. She's alive. And let's start here. What do Michael Pittman, Tyreek Hill, Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders,
oh God,
and Cortland Sutton have in common?
They all caught a touchdown this week?
Nope.
That's all I got.
They each have less touchdowns than Vikings linebacker Andrew Van Ginkle.
What?
He has 2 pick sixes this season. He got one on Rodgers in England.
Guys only got 1 tutty on the year?
Yeah.
As a non-fantasy guy, I don't pay that much attention to touchdowns, but I know it's a big deal for the fantasy bros out there.
As a Tyreek Hill fantasy owner, would also tell you, yes, he's having a bad year.
Not good. The Mike Evans ones is kind of surprising. He's only got 1 tutty on the year?
I didn't say Mike Evans.
Oh,
I thought
Michael
Pittman.
Michael Pittman, my apologies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of the Colts. Josh Jacobs having one surprised me because he's had a pretty good year so far.
He has had a good year.
Andrew Van Ginkle, 2 pick sixes.
It was a nice play they made early in that game. Minnesota probably doesn't win it without the way their defense played. That was more of a defense win than offense win for them.
This one courtesy of CBS Sports, who says, with his 359 yards and 3 touchdowns, if you add his last 4 starts with Cleveland, Joe Flacco became the oldest player ever to have 5 straight games of 300 yards and 2 TDs in a game.
Are we finally answering the question, is Joe Flacco elite? I think Joe Flacco is elite.
Joe Flacco is elite.
Took the Browns to the playoffs.
Yes.
He damn near won the game this weekend. I mean, that was...
It wasn't his fault they lost.
Wasn't his fault they gave up 37 points to an offense that had been inept to this point in the year. Three tutties, no picks. He was outstanding this weekend.
He also topped out at 18 miles an hour on a scramble.
What? I'm not buying
that. Didn't he rush fake for like 40 yards fake news. Or something in
yes,
the game?
I'm not buying that.
He had like a 25-yard
yeah.
run.
He had three carries for 22 yards in the game. He had a 21-yard scramble.
Yeah, that's what it was, 21 yards.
Him scrambling for 21 is a miracle. I didn't know that was physically possible. I did not see that highlight when it happened. They're in such a weird spot.
You have to start him.
You have to.
He's better than Richardson, and it's not even an
it's
argument.
Not even a debate.
According to the Buffalo News... Josh Allen's 9-for-30 performance was historic. Woof. His 30% completion percentage is the lowest completion percentage with at least 30 attempts in the last 30 years in the NFL.
Ooh, buddy. It's not good, man. That was for a. This is the beauty of the NFL. The first 3 weeks of the year, Buffalo looked like a wagon. They looked like they were unstoppable on offense. They were shredding everybody. Put up 47 against the Jags, like... just on fire. And then they run into a buzzsaw in Baltimore on Sunday night, a bad turnover late. They were trying to make their way back into that game, whatever. They shut it down late. And then, I mean, I know they woke up late offensively in this game, and Keon Coleman had a long touchdown, but he had one catch on five targets. Like, that was an inefficient offense, and they threw three incompletions on their biggest drive of the game to basically hand the win back to Houston. This is the beauty of the league, man. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Buffalo. Are they the prime candidate in the AFC? And now a blowout loss in Baltimore and an ugly offensive loss in Houston to two contenders in the AFC playoffs.
Jaden Daniels off to a great start in D.C. The Commanders are 4-1 going into a big game against Baltimore this weekend. They were 4-13 last year. They have already matched their win total from a year ago.
That's a great number.
He also generated... plus 13.5 EPA on 4 unblocked pressures Sunday against Cleveland. That's the most for any quarterback in a game since 2018, according to Next Gen Stats.
He has been so good. So 82 rushing yards, efficient throwing the ball. He has been so you keep waiting for that rookie game to happen where you're like, oh, there it is. Okay, that was ugly. It just hasn't happened.
We played this earlier.
That was a thick pick!
According to Next Gen Stats, 324-pound defensive lineman Kaleen Saunders, who intercepted Mahomes in the end zone, reached a top speed of 15.79 miles per hour, which is the third fastest for a player of 320 pounds or more since 2016.
Guy was scooting,
that was
man.
A thick pick.
He was hauling ass. He never even contemplated going down in the end zone. You don't get to touch the football very often. The second that thing hits my hands, I'm going, baby.
But everybody had the same reaction when the receiver caught him right up. He's going to fumble this.
Probably.
Everybody thought that.
What was the game a couple weeks ago where that happened, where there was a pick and then the defensive lineman ended up fumbling it? Somebody chased him down from behind. I can't remember if that was a college or an NFL
game. Aikman went back. Aikman was on that. That's one of Aikman's best calls. He's like, that guy had to play some running back.
And they found out that he did.
And they found out that he did in high school.
Are you guys glad that you now have the information, too, that his brother is a backup dancer for Taylor Swift?
So good.
I don't know what I would have done in that game without that information on the broadcast last night. I definitely needed the video footage of it, too.
Sure.
Let's show him on the sidelines before the game and then show Taylor
Swift.
Can you
stop bad-mouthing my Swiftie?
I needed all of that information to properly process that play.
Joe Fisher once said he could run a 40 in 5.2 seconds. He has yet to do it, and I think only gained weight since.
Yeah, not happening.
Can Joe Fisher run 15.79 miles per hour?
No. This guy's an elite athlete. Yeah. No. Joe Fisher, not an elite athlete.
Okay. Well, he said he could run the 40. He never ran the 40.
No.
This
is the swag 300-pound squat.
Hey,
you tried.
At least I put
you at least tried.
You gave it an attempt.
On my back and said, oh, this was a bad news.
That did not go well.
Swag will be at Thursday Night Football, so he'll be out on Friday's show. But Thursday Night Football should be good. Niners, Seahawks, both desperate after bad losses. I didn't know this. I should have. Seahawks haven't beaten the Niners since 2021.
I do know that, yeah.
That's just, I didn't know it'd been that long.
Well, I mentioned that the Niners had a manageable schedule last week on the show, which now looks incredibly stupid because they lost to the Cardinals, but it made Seahawks fans text in and say, really, on the road in Seattle is a manageable schedule? And that made me look it up and say, well, they haven't beaten them in 4 years. So, yeah. But we can't beat the Cardinals right now, so I don't know what else could happen on Thursday.
64% completion percentage, 482 passing yards, 59 rushing yards, 3 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns, and a 3-game winning streak. Ladies and gentlemen, Bo Nix in Denver.
Yeah,
Bo
buddy.
Nix in Denver.
3-game winning streak.
How about that?
Another team that's in the mix for maybe the best defense in the league.
They're definitely in the conversation at this point.
It's going to give them a chance in every game. How much are we betting on the under of Chargers and Broncos this weekend?
If you would have bet the under in Raiders Broncos, the Broncos almost hit the over
they
by
did.
Themselves. It was
they
36.
Did. But the Chargers, I think, have a more respectable defense. Am I wrong in saying that?
Depends on how healthy it is. You hope after the bye.
That's what I'm saying. Off of a bye week, it should be healthy.
And then we'll see how the ankle is for Herbert. Mm.
Let's stick with rookie quarterbacks. Caleb Williams with a nice performance versus Carolina Sunday. Threw for 304 yards. According to Eric Lambert, Bears beat writer, his 300-yard game, he's had two in the last three. Justin Fields did that once in 3 years.
There you go. There's your argument for making the pick. He's been awesome the last 2 weeks. He seemingly has settled down. Part of that is the competition they played. Carolina, I think, is reminding us, oh, that's right, one of the worst teams in the NFL. Despite that one game from Andy Dalton where he looked very good, that team is absolutely terrible. They play, I think they got Jacksonville, if I'm not mistaken, in a London game this weekend. But he's trending in the right direction. That's all you want to see, man. I don't know what the season expectation is. Every week, get a little bit better, fix a mistake, and he seemingly is going in that direction.
This one from The Athletic. Tidbits from that abysmal game between the Dolphins and Patriots.
I gambled on that game.
One of the worst football games I've ever watched.
An inch away, a heel away from covering a damn spread.
The Dolphins took their first lead of the 2024 season with a field goal. They led 3-0. Imagine if I told you going into the year, week 5 was the first time the Dolphins would lead against a team and it'd be 3-0.
That's so sad, man.
And I'm sorry for Seahawks fan because you got double doinked in this segment. This is a gross one. The Patriots have only registered 300 total yards of offense once this year. It was against Seattle.
That defensive front is a problem right now.
That is one of the worst offenses I've ever seen in my life.
Now, did the Browns get 300 yards this weekend? I don't think they did against the Commies, right? Because the Browns were the only team left without a 300-yard game. And
if they did, it was in garbage time.
I am with only 13 points and Deshaun Watson being the worst quarterback in the history of the NFL. They had total offense. Where is it? 212. Nope. They are still the only team in the NFL without 300 yards in a game.
I like to look on Twitter once in a while for factoids. And when you type Lamar Jackson and Twitter, you know what pops up in the feed? A tweet from last year where Emmanuel Acho, hot take extraordinaire,
yes,
is on his FS1 show proclaiming the Deshaun Watson trade absolutely worth it, and we need to stop debating because he beat the Ravens 33-31 and threw for 200 yards.
200 total passing yards, man.
That take has not aged right.
You mean his 1 of 13 on third down efficiency this weekend didn't get the job done? No? 212 total yards of offense? No, didn't get the job done?
Hey, it's a Tuesday, and the nerves are already flowing. Next on The Fan. We will get to the reaction. Kalen DeBoer is finding out quickly the last couple days that Saturday was disastrous in more ways.
It just means more.
Guy could have been a god in Seattle for 10 years.
Yeah, what if he was 3-2?
Recruiting
well.
I don't think people are freaking out to this level.
No chance.
Not to this level.
I'll give you that.
It's a different planet, man.
But when you...
He hadn't done anything for Alabama.
Okay. But, he beat Georgia.
He did.
I love that that's just forgotten. And I get it. Lose to Bandy. That is, inexcusable.
The honeymoon's over.
It is. We'll get to that.
It's gone.
However, I think this is where you're a little wrong. I don't think Husky fan is booing him and calling into shows and demanding him be fired for being like... Well, what are they? 4-2? The Huskies are 4-2?
4-2, I believe. Yeah. 4-2 after this weekend.
If they're 3-3 or 4-2 and he's here, isn't the opinion already formulating of, oh, look what you are without Jimmy Lake guys and transfers?
I mean, that would be my opinion for sure. And I was already making that argument at the end of last year that a lot of the guys that he won with, he inherited. I just think there's a cachet that's built up when you do something at a program that they've never done before. And I know Washington is proud of their history, but they'd never played in a national championship before. He led them that for the first time ever. Like, if Oregon State this year was, I know the circumstances are different, but let's say Oregon State is, what's Oregon State this year?
4-1.
Let's say they're 3-2.
Mm-hmm. But
They lost that game. Jonathan Smith, though, is still their head coach. Nobody's calling for Jonathan Smith to be fired. There's just a cachet that's built up when you're at a place and you've had success at a place that if you haven't had it at another school, they don't care what you did somewhere else. Alabama fans don't care that he went to the national championship last year. What have you done for me? What have you done for me is all that matters to them.
Trent Brace, 4-1. He's the first coach in Oregon State since 1933 to be a first-year coach at 4-1.
It's a badass stat, man. You had shirtless fans hugging him after the game.
Damn right
he did. That was kind of cool. People made fun of their fans for rushing the field. Can we stop doing that? Can we stop policing fan behavior? It's been a long year. They won a game in double overtime.
It has been a long year.
Let them rush the field. Why does this bother people? It doesn't make sense.
I don't know, but I'll tell you, I could be wrong in the read here. We'll get to Dan Lanning audio.
Yeah.
I know this game. I've heard the narrative, and we've said this yesterday, of like, you know, Oregon or Ohio State can lose this and still make a playoff. We know that's real.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have the feel of that.
It's the beauty of college football, man.
I think that's my ultimate argument against Pate, is even non-Bama Georgia games, these matchups still feel massively important.
Yes.
Because, yeah, Oregon can lose and go to a playoff. If Oregon loses by 10 or more at home, I don't think Monday's show is going to be, no big deal.
No.
It's okay.
This game's more about how the game is played. If it is a classic back and forth thing and it comes down to somebody making a field goal as time expires,
you tip your cap and you move
then
on.
Then you're the loser's massively disappointed, but you're like, okay, we're right there. We're going to get them back.
You could get them in the next.
If you
rematch,
lose by two touchdowns or something,
yes,
you got some splaining to do.
Yeah. Either way, I mean, it goes either way, right? If Oregon wins this game by 14 points, Ohio State's going to freak out, and they're not going to be thrilled with the result from their team. And what happens? We got Penn State in a couple of weeks that they got to go play. So, yeah, this is the beauty of college football, I would say, more so than the NFL. That I don't know if there's ever a playoff number that you could get to that he would even take this away, to be honest with you. You could go to 64 teams in the college football playoff, and I still think that would be the reaction. We live and die in this sport.
Well, we do this in the NFL. That's what's funny. What I'm saying is these games in the NFL, the Ravens can lose, and then the sky is falling. Then they play the Bengals, and then they win. And, oh, look at the Ravens. Like, this happens all the NFL teams lose 5, 6, 7, 8 games and still go to the playoffs. People still live and die with it every day because it's sports and we love our sports teams. I know it's a little different college. My point is I've always been pro the expansion because I think football teams should be given some grace of like, oh, you didn't play a perfect game against a good team. That doesn't mean you're not worthy of being in some tournament or conversation.
No.
I think it still matters a great deal, win or lose. And you still have a window to be okay.
Yeah, maybe the specific fans don't react to that level. Or excuse me, the national fans don't, but specifically they do in the NFL. But like if the Chiefs lose that game last night, and they're a random example here, but if they lose that game last night, like nobody in Kansas City's freaking out. There's no narrative today about what's wrong with Kansas City and why can't we beat the Saints and oh my God, the sky is falling.
You just had an off night.
You just had a bad, and you have, 12 more regular season games. You had Georgia lose to Alabama last week, and that was the reaction in Athens on Monday, despite the fact that they've won 2 national championships in the last 3 years and probably would have won a third if they would have been in the playoff last year. But the reaction was, wait a minute, Saban's gone. We still can't beat these guys. It's, you know, that overreaction, I feel like it just takes on a different life of its own in college football. And that will be the case in this game on Monday either way. Unless to Swag's point, to me, it's not hot takey to, you know, if you have a field goal game, it's back and forth. One team, Jeremiah Smith makes a one-handed catch in the fourth quarter, and you lose the game 35-34.
Right.
I don't think there's a sky is falling. It's just like, man, that guy's incredible. You lost a close game, and hopefully you get another shot at him. But if it goes one direction more widespread, that's when the panic will ensue.
We'll hear from Dan Lanning. He had his Monday night press conference yesterday. We got a couple cuts from that one, and it's Tuesday, but it already feels like, you know, the game feel, and maybe I'm just in my own little bubble here of people I know that are Duck fans. It just feels like it's such a massive, exciting moment. Game day's coming. National NBC game 4:30 kick. Like, it just, I don't know. It's Tuesday, and it kind of feels like a Thursday already to me. It's an interesting feeling.
It's the biggest game in the history of Oregon football. Regular season game.
At home, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
First time they've hosted a top five matchup.
Not true, actually.
Oh.
That's circulating, but it's not true.
Okay, well, do this. You tell me, because I heard the same stats.
Yeah,
so I just repeated.
I'll give you the number.
Okay, you give us the number.
I was at the game.
We'll hear from Dan Lanning coming up next hour two, and then we will. Kalen DeBoer heard it from Bama fan yesterday, as did America. We'll get to that hour two. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.